Welcome back to the Daily Thunder podcast. Brandon, we have a four-game Thunder win streak to discuss. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, I like it. Just jumping right in. My thoughts are Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is an all-star. He's been incredible. Here's my hot take. I think without SGA, the Thunder are 0-7. I think that's how good he is, and that's how good he's been. And that's not a knock on the other guys. You know, there's been injuries. Obviously, Chet, getting missed a couple games. And, you know, you got young guys and things like that. The team is a fighting team that's competitive, high IQ, hustles, plays right, plays smart. And it's a testament to the team, to the fact that they're the number five defensive-rated team in the NBA, despite being the youngest team in the NBA. It's a testament to Mark Daigneault. Other guys have showed out. We'll talk about those guys later. But at the end of the day, I think that the Thunder are on a zero-game win streak for the entire season if they don't have SGA. I just think he's that good. I think that that's what it comes down to.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining, everybody. Thanks for listening. Yeah. This has been great. We'll talk to you next week. I mean, what a week for the Thunder. Obviously a near miraculous game against the Mavericks. Is it safe to say that was like a miracle, the way that happened? But then another double digit comeback against the Magic, down at the half. And I think a huge story that's emerging is the effectiveness of this team, in the third quarter.
Yeah, this is kind of like the game scripts from last season they're using again. We saw that, this team fights. They were second in the NBA last year at most, like 15-point-plus comeback wins, and they're already doing it again. Two straight games, 15-point-plus comeback wins. Yeah, the third quarter, they've just been absolutely dominant. I don't know if that's, you know, Daigneault making, you know, changes at halftime, adjustments. I don't know if that's just the team like focusing, buying in, hustle, effort, you know, not liking being down, whatever it is. This team in the third quarter and, you know, in crunch time has been incredible. I mean, that Mavs, they're down 16 with 4 minutes left on the road versus the Western Conference runner-ups last year and Luka Doncic. And I mean, that was a fully healthy Mavs team. And the Thunder, this team that's supposed to be, you know, according to John Hollinger, like a 9-win team, came back with 4 minutes left, 16 down. You just don't see that happen. I mean, like, it's pretty remarkable. You know, again, this is a small sample size, but it isn't really when you combine it with what they did last year. This team, I think at this point, we can just say that this team knows how to fight, knows how to get back in games, and they've been pretty clutch. In the second half of games.
Last week we talked about Lu Dort and just kind of being a little down on the shooting and not much else. He's still been effective elsewhere, but the week that he just had, incredible. I don't think they get these last couple wins without him. Like he was really sharp last night. We're recording this on Wednesday. So the offense last night, the shooting obviously hit a big one. It kind of sealed the game last night, but, defensively against Luka, that was a good reminder of why this guy got that contract and why Oklahoma City's been high on him, ever since they signed him and he was doing big things on the blue.
Yeah, so we've seen in three consecutive wins now, Lu Dort keep Luka Doncic, Paul George, and Paolo Banchero to their season lows. I mean, these are guys that have been, you know, MVP finalists, the number one overall pick. And there are three dudes with completely, you know, different games, body types, physical attributes, and Lou Dort is sticking these guys and holding them to their season lows. And, you know, I opened the show by giving, you know, all the credit to SGA for the wins. But you're right. If it's not for Lou Dort, the other Canadian Thunder player, they probably don't get these wins either, because what he's done on the defensive side has been pretty special these last few games. And like you said, he's hit some clutch baskets here and there as well. He provides just enough offensively. Even if he has a bad shooting night, he tends to make some clutch buckets, or, you know, get a steal, outlet dunk, whatever it is, some timely buckets on offense as well.
Just a quick aside. What are your initial thoughts on Paolo?
Yeah, I mean, he's good. I mean, I think we knew that. We talked about, you know, he or Keegan Murray were going to be the most NBA-ready players, and I think those two and Benedict Mathurin obviously looked the part. I'd say, obviously, Jalen Williams in limited time has looked the part as well for the Thunder as NBA-ready players. I know Paolo has been putting up big, big numbers. His efficiency hasn't been that great, though. Like, you know, his shooting from the floor, from three-point range, haven't been great. But, you know, he's a rookie, and he's kind of carrying the offense right now. He's been really, really good. Was he worthy of the number one pick? Absolutely. Would I still have taken Chet Holmgren? One, yes, I would have. But would I have taken Paolo two over Jabari Smith Jr.? Yes, I would have. That's easy to say now in hindsight, because I think clearly that Paolo so far has been better than Jabari. I still think all three guys are going to end up great players. But yeah, looking good from Paolo. I mean, his just physical attributes, like his size, his athleticism.
It's shocking. Yeah,
it's he looks like an NBA vet. Like he's been playing for six or seven years.
It's to the point that, and he's so polished in so many areas that it's like you start to nitpick the efficiency, and it's like, well, that's what he's supposed to be. Like he's supposed to be inefficient right now. Like this is normal. And
right.
Everything else is just so good that, that you almost get tricked into thinking he's been at this a long time. It is crazy to think back like 30 minutes before an hour before the draft, it was like Jabari's going to go number one. And it's like 2 weeks into the season, it's just kind of wild that's how every pre-draft board looked like.
Right.
Very random, but I was just thinking about those two guys, watching them the last few games. Like there is no comparison as of right now. None.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because there was so much talk between those three guys. It always felt like Chet was number two, even though a lot of, you know, draft experts felt like he was the top prospect. It was Jabari for so long. And then, you know, Paolo snuck up and was the number one guy, but I think that there's going to be debate for the next several years between those three guys at the top and who ends up being the best player. But yeah, right now, you know, Chet gets a pass for this season. So it's Jabari versus Paolo. And so far, easily, hands down, Paolo looks better.
Back to the Thunder. They play Denver tomorrow night at home. The schedule doesn't really let up. You know, they have the Bucks twice coming up. I think I'm missing a game before the Pistons game, but it's a difficult stretch still. And, you know, we'll see if they keep this up. But as of right now, they're above 500 for the first time since January of 2021. And I'll be honest, it feels like it's been longer than that. It feels like it's been forever. And wanted to get your thoughts on, like, to me, it feels like these wins are wins that Thunder fans can be a little more excited about and less stressed over than wins last year. It feels like this team, no matter what, is going to add another significant piece, right? In this coming draft, whether it's in the top five, whether it's somewhere in the top, like back half of the top 10. But these wins feel sustainable. They aren't some, you know, they aren't a veteran coming in and hitting shots that isn't going to be around for the long haul. This does feel like organically grown success from these young guys, and Shea in particular. But like Jang is playing a ton of minutes. J-Dub's playing a lot of minutes. Trey Mann, Dort, Poku. Poku was incredible. We'll single him out in a minute. But like, this feels like the start of like what they were after. I don't know if I'm making any sense, but it just feels like these wins feel more, you can get behind these wins more than you could, let's say, if Al Horford was hitting George Hill in stride for like a go-ahead three at the end of a game.
Right. No, I know exactly what you mean, because it's the Thunder's young guys. This is a young core. As much as Thunder fans want Victor Wembanyama or Scoot or, you know, Cam Whitmore, and I think by the end of the season, the Thunder will still be a lottery team. You know, there's teams right now that are in the lottery, like the Warriors, who are not going to end up being in the lottery. That said, when it's the young core getting you wins instead of Al Horford or George Hill or Mike Muscala, love Mike, but you know, still harken back to that game winner, the Tyrese Maxey game winner. And interestingly enough, Kenrich Williams and Mike Muscala didn't play at all against the Orlando Magic. It was all the young core versus young core. When you're a young core is getting you wins, you're happy about that because it's promising for the future. If Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Lou Dort, Josh Giddey, Trey Mann, Jalen Williams, Usman Jang are good enough to beat the Dallas Mavs on the road right now, I mean, think about when their primes are actually overlapping and when you add Chet Holmgren and then a lottery pick, whether or not it's Victor Wembanyama or maybe it's, you know, closer to 10 or 12, you know, the future is bright for this Thunder team if they're going to keep getting wins like this, because they're only going to get better and better.
To exactly what you just said, this, I want to read a tweet from Draft Dummies. We both really like this account. The four man group of SGA, Dort, Trey Mann, and Aaron Wiggins. So SGA, Dort, Trey Mann, Aaron Wiggins. 100th percentile plus 46.2 net rating in 78 possessions. Pretty outstanding. And the last thing that the tweet says, that's a really fun group, and Chet feels like the perfect big to complete that unit.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. No, that's exactly right, because it's funny because every single one of these guys seems playable, right? Like, you know, Aaron Wiggins was in that lineup that's been dominant. Trey Mann, you know, everybody knows SGA, Josh Giddey, Lou Dort, and Chet Holmgren. But these other guys, none of them feel like, you know, like a few years back, you felt like the Thunder were throwing out some guys like, oh man, what's this guy going to do? Like, how's this guy going to help? Like, you know, this is going to tank this lineup. And that was when the Thunder were trying to win, you know, some of those Russ teams without KD, you know, the end of the bench guys.
Yeah.
But now you throw out a Wiggins, you feel good about it because he's going to play defense. He might hit some threes. You play Trey Mann, you feel good. He's going to hit some threes. He's going to hit some step backs. He's going to create space. The bench is deep with young talent that you feel, even Poku, again, we're going to talk about him soon. But you know, everybody was ready to give up on Poku after a year. And there's been a few games now where Poku has been arguably the second best player on the team.
He was outstanding down the stretch of that game, especially on defense. And I mentioned this in our thread today. I rewatched the game, but I never pictured him, even at his peak, I never pictured him as a rim protector. Whether that be like at the rim, like actually protecting the rim in the paint, or just like as a lanky defender on the perimeter. I just didn't think it was in the cards, based on his frame. And he has been a revelation on defense so far this year. And I remember we've talked about his defense before. We talked about his defense last season some, but this just feels like it's gone to a different place.
Yeah, he's such a good weak side help defender. Mm-hmm. You know, he blocked Paulo Banchero last night at the rim. Like, it was impressive. And he had three blocks last night against the Magic. And this is the Magic, who has length everywhere. He's still blocking shots. Everybody joked about the thin towers lineup of Poku and Chet Holmgren. And I think, you know, it was funny, like, meme. But, you know, most people thought, well, Poku's not actually going to get that much playing time. You know, it's fun to talk. That could be a real thing in the future. Like, Poku really could. And Chet, like, protecting the rim could be a real thing. Like, the shot blocking between Chet Holmgren, Poku, and Darius Baisley could be a pretty nice defensive weapon for the Thunder. All three project to be really, really good shot blockers and rim protectors.
Baisley is another guy. He was really, really good in that game last night on defense. And he was really solid. He had an outstanding possession of defense against Luka in the Mavericks game. It didn't result in a block. And I think that was even the more impressive part about it. Like, Luka still got it to the rim, but it was such a disciplined, multi-effort possession of defense. Do you remember the one I'm talking about?
Yep, I remember exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Really impressed with I'm going to stay down. I'm not just going to like hunt blocks. It was big boy defense against obviously like one of the best players in the whole league. So, I've loved what we've seen from Baisley. It's really good. Also, want to mention Jang on defense, especially on the ball. Like, it's been really good. He's guarding mostly guys that are a lot shorter and quicker than he is. And he's just stonewalling a lot of guys on the perimeter. And, you know, would you say his offense is like, has like outpaced his defense so far? Or do you think they're kind of close?
I think they're close. I don't know. I would actually say, maybe the defense is outpacing the offense just because the defense doesn't, you know, pop as much. But I don't know. I just feel like his length and his fluidity on defense, you know, at times he really does a great job of, I don't want to say smothering, you know, the offensive player, but for being as young as he is, he's one of the youngest players in the NBA. I think he's doing a really, really nice job defensively. I don't know though, but like, you know, he was supposed to be so raw offensively. And then, you know, like last night, he hit two threes, his first two threes. He had 8 points. I think he went 3 of 4. He only missed one shot. He's not taking very high volume. And the numbers don't pop. But the mechanics, the form, the shot, the release, all those look good and sound. And he's kind of playing within himself. He makes the right pass. He doesn't force anything.
Yeah.
He's a lot smoother and less raw looking. Yeah. And I think than most people anticipated.
I want to pull up his number. Yeah. And he had those 8 points. I believe that was a personal 8-0 run when he entered the game, in the first half. I think all of his points were scored in the first half, but it was like right away. Impact off the bench. But his defense, I think, is what's going to keep him on the floor. And that's what I think that was one of my biggest questions with him coming into the year was, even if the offense is, you know, slow developing for him, is he going to be enough of a defender to get him minutes? And it seems like the answer is yes. And I don't even know that the offense is that, you know, I'm not saying the offense is a liability, but his defense is really, really solid right now for a player that's, you know, seven games into his career. I've been impressed. Trey Mann, again, just endless moves to get himself space. He gave a move last night, second half, brought the ball back, right hand to left hand, back between his legs, that bought him almost the entire lane. He ended up going up and getting fouled. I'm so impressed with his handle and how efficient he uses his handle to get where he wants to go.
Yeah, he's, you know, we saw it in his rookie season. It's what stood out, how smooth he is, and the space creation. You just don't see, even vets, even stars, don't usually get this much separation in their shots.
Yeah.
And, you know, so far, you know, he's had games where he's shot well. He's had games where he hasn't shot well. But he's putting up points, I believe, fully in the shot. I know he can shoot, you know, as a rookie, he shot like 36% from three, which is a really nice number on the volume that he took as a rookie. And the fact that he's taking so many off the dribble and that he's taking so many step backs, you got to be excited about Trey Mann and kind of the trajectory that he's on and his scoring ability. And his passing, I think, is underrated as well. You know, most of the guys on this team are good creative passers. And I think Trey Mann is one of those guys that gets overlooked, I think, because of his shooting and his scoring, but the dude can pass too.
Yeah, absolutely. We should mention the Thunder are fifth in defensive rating in the entire league. Does that pass the eye test for you?
Yeah. I mean, the hustle, energy, effort on this team is ridiculous. Like, you know, obviously it stands out from Lou Dort and Kenrich Williams. They get, you know, those two deservedly so get so much credit for their effort. But it's 1 through 17 on this team. I don't know if it's youth. I don't know if it's because they specifically have sought out this kind of player. I don't know if it's Mark Daigneault. I imagine it's a combination of all of the above, the culture, but this team goes full out, you know, and that's a big part of defense. Another part of it is length, versatility, and this team has that in spades. They just make the right play usually, both on offense and defense. So they're making up for a lack of top-end talent. You know, they don't have the stars besides SGA. But they're making up for a lot of what they lack in talent with effort and IQ. And that's standing out on the defensive end. The craziest part is they don't have a true center. They don't have a true 7-footer. You know, they have a Chet Holmgren-sized hole in the middle right now. And they're still fifth defensively. And they're doing this playing against – I mean, they played against the Wolves twice, the Nuggets, the Clippers, the Mavs. It's not like they played an easy schedule.
Not at all. We talked about it right before the season started, how tough the stretch was going to be to open the season. And we should have, after last year, we shouldn't be as surprised as we are that they're 4-3 right now with a game against a team they've already beaten tomorrow night. So, I don't know. It just feels different. The last week of the season has shown a different complexion of this team and the direction and the excitement. And last night, Shea getting MVP chance, and it just felt like it felt oddly familiar. It felt like a feeling we've certainly felt a lot before, but it's been a while. And watching games that not only are they coming back to win, but you expect it to happen, you want it to happen, you're excited when it happens, and you're watching a guy in Shea that's like he is in the middle of taking that next step, and he took that next step last year, and he's taking another one so far this year. Like this is what it looks like when you have an all-star on your team. This is what it looks like when you have a top 15 guy on your team. This is what happens. Like, you can play with guys that a lot of casual NBA fans are like, who is that? And he's winning games in the clutch with those guys on his team, and they're only getting better. He's making them better. It's impressive. He is, Like, would you trade Paul George for SGA straight up right now?
Absolutely not. I mean, obviously the age is the biggest.
It plays a huge factor. But they're like, really, if they're the same age, it's pretty close right now.
Yeah, if they're the same age, it is close. Now, small sample size, but is it a small sample size? Because the second half after the All-Star break, and I almost give an asterisk to SGA's play before the All-Star break, because he was obviously experimenting a lot with that sidestep, step back jumper. And he was trying his best to just get everybody else involved. He was like totally bought in, team first. I'm going to be, you know, let you guys take your shots. I'm going to step back and let you do your thing. I want, you know, this to be cohesive. But in the second half of the season, he's just like, okay, I'm going to dominate. And he dominated. And he did that with a lot of G League lineups. And the Thunder were competitive. So it's a continuation of the second half of last season. And then going back to the season before he got shut down, and he had a worthy caliber player in Al Horford. I say worthy. And they're like, you know, like a star-ish type player. They played so well together. He was dominant, should have made, you know, the All-Star game that season. But Mike Conley got the Lifetime Achievement Award, which is fine. but it's kind of a continuation of those past two kind of interrupted half seasons that he had. And now we're seeing it kind of full circle. The dude had just turned 24 over the summer. He's still like technically 2 years away from his prime. He's just entering his pre-prime. And like you said, he's taking this next leap. And the MVP chance absolutely deserved as far as how he's played this season. And credit, by the way, to Loud City and OKC fans.
Yeah.
Because obviously, like, the Paycom's not, you know, packed to the rim like it was during the heyday. But considering this is, you know, the beginning of year three of a rebuild, I think the crowd has actually been, one, really, really loud, especially when the Thunder go on runs and things like that. They've been very loud, very passionate. But there's been good crowds all season long. I mean, has it been 100%? No. But it much, much better than teams who are in year three of a rebuild crowds typically are. So I've been impressed with OKC fans. But yeah, going back to Shea, he's taking that step into superstardom. Like you said, just imagine when guys like Giddey and Chet Holmgren are starting to enter their pre-primes, and then they're overlapping, and then, you know, maybe add a star or, you know, at least some capable, you know, good, solid vets to this team. Guys like Jalen Williams, Trey Mann, like, they're all so young. SGA's ahead of them right now, obviously talent-wise, but then also, like, developmental-wise. Once they start catching up and those primes are overlapping and he has help and he has spacing, because he's still getting hit with all these double teams and the least amount of space, and he's still doing this, which makes it all that much more impressive.
Yeah.
No, absolutely wouldn't trade him straight up for Paul George, but even taking away the age factor, it's becoming very, very close, which is crazy.
The buckets he's getting late in games, like, they have to have them. And it's like, it looks a little different, but he's creating the space in a similar way and on a similar spot on the floor as, like, you would see Chris Paul or Carmelo. Like, it's mid-range elbow extended, and it's getting, like, he's getting that open look really consistently, even without the threat. I mean, the percentages, I would say, his 3-point percentage so far this year, I would say, is kinder to him than the eye test. Like, I think his three ball has struggled a little, and yet he's still getting space that he wants late in games in the mid range. And that is not common and really sick.
Yeah, no, his efficiency with his three ball, you know, not being, you know, even league average right now. It was higher, but the last couple games had dipped it down.
That's final frontier for him. Like,
right,
if that takes shape, like, look out.
Yeah, I think right now he's a league average 3-point shooter. He's much better catch and shoot. He just takes so many. He creates his own shot all the time. Like, he doesn't really have, except for the few times where he's out there with Giddey and Giddey's setting him up, he doesn't really have much of a chance to catch and shoot or shoot open shots from three. So it's rare. I still believe, you know, the shot, the 3-point percentage is going to improve. That said, his efficiency without the 3-point shot is nuts. And his numbers across the board are just absurd. 31.5 points, 4.8 rebounds, 6.8 assists, 2.5 steals, 1.7 or 1.5 blocks, something like that. I can't remember. I'm trying to go off the top of my head.
I think that's top 20. That's top 20 in the league in blocks and number one, or one or two, as far as guards.
It's number one in guards. It's as a point guard slash shooting guard, he's doing this. It's absurd. You know, it's so funny. We talk about all-stars. You know, the dude is number six in scoring. He's number 18, I believe, in assists. He's number three in steals and number 20 or whatever it is in blocks. And there's like 24 dudes who make the all-star game. So every single one of these numbers is all-star worthy. I mean, if he keeps this up, and some of those numbers don't feel sustainable because they're so ridiculous. But if he even keeps up, 80% of this, he's an all-star lock. Like, regardless of team record, regardless of small market, regardless of anything else, you can't deny him if his numbers even stay close to what they are right now.
Can you name the five players ahead of him in points per game?
Oh, gosh. I just looked this up last night. I believe Donovan Mitchell.
Yep.
I believe, I think KD is just like one spot ahead of him.
Mitchell is right ahead of him at five and Durant is four.
Okay. So yeah, okay. Is Curry still ahead of him or is he right above Steph now?
He's above Steph.
Okay. That's what I thought. Hold on. Ja.
Yep. That's three.
Oh, Luka.
That's number one.
So I'm missing number two.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Give me just a second. I swear I'm not Googling this.
It's obvious.
Did you say it's obvious?
Yeah.
Oh, Giannis.
There you go. There you go. Here are the names right below. By the way, 1 point separates him and Durant. 1 point per game. Obviously, seven games in, it's still not as big a gap. Shea's averaging 31.5. Durant, 32.5. Here are the five names right below Shea. Tell me if you've heard of these guys. Damian Lillard, Jason Tatum, Steph Curry, Trae Young, Devin Booker.
Yeah, it's nuts. Like, okay, so Shea's number six. I looked it up last night.
Yep.
He's the only one in the top 17 who hasn't been an all-star.
Wow.
I mean, that's crazy. All the best players in the NBA, and Shea's number six. He's just like, I mean, he's got to make the – I know the West is loaded with guards, but, you know, hearing about 10 games or so is when, you know, we're going to start – hearing about all-star ballots and voting and stuff like that. And if he keeps this up, I mean, you just can't deny him at this point.
And the West is loaded, but they also lost two guards from last year's team in Mitchell and DeJounte Murray.
Which is huge.
Yeah. The names right out. If you keep going down the list after Booker, Embiid, Kyrie Irving, Pascal Siakam, LeBron, Jaylen Brown, DeMar DeRozan, these are names. These are perennial all-stars. So that's incredibly exciting for Shea. And it feels like the last few days he's really been getting a lot of love from just NBA Twitter at large. Like not just you know people that cover the Thunder. It's been widespread, which is a lot of fun to see. Even like Skeets on No Dunks is like all about SGA as an all-star this year. It feels like, and by the way, why was that game still not on TNT last night? Like that is the kind of game that they should be showing to feature SGA. Like that is such a defense for him. You know what I mean? Like that Bulls Nets game was nowhere close to how entertaining watching Bol Bol and Poku and SGA. Like that was really exciting. Plus you have the number one pick. It still is so funny. But yeah, just an amazing stretch from SGA, and he's getting a lot of recognition for it. And he's getting a lot of recognition for his defense, which he should. Do you want to touch on like what we've seen so far from him? Like he is a point of attack type of defender, and he was so good on Franz Wagner last night, especially in the second half.
Yeah. In crunch time, Franz had been scoring quite a bit, and then SGA started guarding him, especially down the stretch, and SGA just shut down. You could see that Franz was visibly frustrated, and you know, this is the next step, and Mark Daigneault said this in the postgame presser, like, if SGA keeps playing defense like he's playing defense, it takes this team to the next level, and it takes SGA to the next level of superstardom. And SGA has said it himself, to be the player he wants to be mentioned with the greats, to be a superstar, he knows he has to play both sides, and he's taking it seriously. And he's done it. He's put on muscle in the offseason, and you can tell he's taking defense seriously. I mean, the fact that he's leading all guards and blocks, and the fact that 4 out of 6 games now, he's had 3 steals. I think he's tied for number 2 in steals in the entire league. Yeah. And that's while being number 6 in the league in scoring. Like, he's doing it on both sides. And they're not empty stats. You know, sometimes you get those stocks, those steals and blocks combination, but it's because you're cheating and playing the pass lanes, you know, or maybe you're biting for a lot of shots, and then, you know, you end up with a lot of fouls and you don't play disciplined defense. He's not getting these steals and blocks that way. I mean, he's playing good defense. You do feel like, you know, going back to what you said, like NBA Twitter and talking about him on a national level, it feels like you're witnessing, and then the MVP chance, you're seeing it kind of happen in real time, him like kind of ascending to that next level.
Yes.
And once he's getting that national attention now, and if he keeps this up, it's kind of a momentum thing where it just kind of keeps on. We saw it with Ja. Everybody knew Ja was great. He was rookie of the year. And then, you know, then that next year, the hype and the ascension kind of went to a next level because he just kept playing great, and every game was great. And once that momentum builds, and you kind of feel, I'm not saying that, you know, Shea's gonna be Jaw. I'm not saying he's not though either, honestly. But you kind of feel that momentum happening. You kind of see it happening in real time. I think we're witnessing that right now, and it's fun to see it. You saw early on, you know, Russell Westbrook when he was taking kind of that next step, and it just feels like the national attention and national eyes are on SGA now, and that's kind of when the all-star thing and the star thing starts to happen.
Just to clean up, the steals leader is OG Anunoby at 2.6 per game, and then Shea is tied with Fred VanVleet. Shout out the Toronto Raptors. Getting after it. Tied with Fred VanVleet at just 2.5, so 0.1 less per game than OG Anunoby. So right there at the top, pretty impressive stuff.
Yeah. Really, really impressive for SGA. So it's two players from the Canadian team and then a Canadian. So, I mean, they're kind of dominating with steals right now.
Thank you for that connection.
Yeah. And then, you know, if you look at Raptors Twitter, it's three Raptors players. Right.
Good call. Raptors fans, you all are adorable. We have to say, you are adorable.
The best is like, okay, so if you don't know what we're talking about, like Raptors fans, and you know, it's cool. It's just, obviously, SGA is a homegrown talent to them, and he's an up-and-coming star, so of course they want him. But you know, like, you see it everywhere, like Raptors fans talking about, like, you know, trading for SGA, and you see all the photoshops of SGA and the Raptors uniforms, but it's jerseys. But the best is when they're like, SGA for Gary Trent Jr. in a first round pick.
if you've been around Oklahoma City for a while, you remember all of the Westbrook Laker jersey photoshops, as well as Kevin Durant Laker photoshops, and maybe even
some
Wizards jersey photoshops. The new era of that for Thunder Twitter is Shea in a Toronto Raptors uniform.
Yeah, just taking a stride. It's a compliment that Shea's reached that next level where every team wants him.
Yeah, and if it's any solace to any Raptor fan that might be listening, just wait like 12 years and like 6 knee surgeries and you got him. He's all yours. all right. So tomorrow,
hey, don't be putting that on SGA.
I shouldn't. Tomorrow night, Oklahoma City plays Denver. They host Denver. That's a 7 PM Central start. That's on NBA TV. And then at Milwaukee, at Detroit, and then back home for Milwaukee again. That takes us to November 9th. And then speaking of the Raptors, host the Raptors on the 11th, and then a four-game East Coast trip. The Knicks, the Celtics, that's a back-to-back. But the Knicks game is a noon start on a Sunday. There's really, I mean, come on, Brandon. There's few joys that top a noon, 11 a.m. Central, Oklahoma City Thunder Sunday afternoon game. I mean, that's good stuff. Next day at Boston, that's a 6:30 Central time, at Washington, and then at Memphis before they come home for the Knicks. So that takes us to the 21st. So basically that's your next 3 weeks of Thunder games and a lot of East Coast teams, a lot of Eastern Conference teams. Outside of Denver, it's all East until Memphis on the 18th. So knocking out a lot of those games against those Eastern Conference teams, and then they're back home. Anything else from the last few days that you want to hit on? Anything about Daigneault? Anything about Chet? Anything that you are just dying to get out of the notebook?
No, I think we covered it all really well. I mean, I'm anxious to see, now that Josh Giddey is back in the fold, coming back from his ankle injury. They staggered minutes, and then Giddey didn't start the second half. SGA has been so ridiculously good with the ball in his hands. You hate to take it out of his hands. But then Josh Giddey is at the best with the ball in his hands. So you want the ball in his hands. So I'm curious to see how they move that going forward. I'm not talking like from any sort of controversial, like, can they coexist? You know, that's going to be totally fine. I'm just curious to see with SGA going to this next level, how much usage Giddey gets with the ball in his hands. And then Jalen Williams looks really good with the ball in his hands, and Trey Mann. So all of a sudden the Thunder have a lot of, ball handlers, playmakers. It's a good problem to have. And I trust Mark Daigneault, to figure it out. And I trust the players to buy in completely. But I'm just curious to see how it all plays out. End of the day, you want the talent, and that's what they have. SGA is ridiculously talented. Josh Giddey is obviously very talented as well. So I'm sure that they'll figure it out. But it's just kind of a thing to watch.
Two quick things. JRE was phenomenal last night. I forgot to mention him. We probably should mention him. He was really, really, really good. Especially on the defensive end, and Poku as like a role man. That's fun, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's just playing so much better in all areas, but he's playing smarter. Like, he knows what to do. Like, he knows how and when to roll. And then he completes the play. Like, he finishes at the rim. Like, it's been a lot of fun to watch. Like, it's so funny. I've said this, I know, already a couple times, but when he was drafted, everybody's like, he's raw. He's the youngest player in the league. He's going to need time to develop. Be patient. The upside is there. Just be patient. Like, 6 months later, everybody's like, get rid of this dude. He's terrible. I mean, we're starting to see that development. And he's still just 20 years old. He's still one of the youngest players in the league. Like, when people were saying, practice patience with Poku, say that three times fast. We're starting to see, some of that upside come to fruition. I'm not saying he's going to be a star, but man, if he turns out to be a solid rotation player, that's a big win for the Thunder.
Listeners, that is a great look behind the curtain into like our thread with myself, Brandon, and Spencer. You think the conversation ended and then someone throws out something else, and then it's just like another 20 to 30 minutes of like nerding out over Poku as the role man. It happens all the time. So we will be back next week. We'll see what's in store in a week. This team could look even better. Maybe we're talking about like a 7 or 8 game win streak. You never know. So Brandon, as always, thank you very much.
Absolutely. It was fun, Ryan. Have a good one.
All right, listeners, thank you so much. We will talk to you in a week. Take care. Hey, Hoopheads. We appreciate you listening to this episode of Daily Thunder. Be sure to check out other NBA pods on the Hoopheads Podcast Network, including Cavalier Central, Nuck If You Buck, 305 Culture, Spanning the Spurs, Hashtag Lakers, Motor City Hoops, X's and O's NBA Breakdown, LA Hoops, The Wizards Hoops Analyst, At the Buzzer, and Lakers Fast Break. There are also coaching-focused podcasts, Thrive with Trevor Huffman, Beyond the Ball, the CoachesMaze.com podcast, Players Court, Bleachers and Boards, The Green Light, and Courtside Culture. Oh, and don't forget the network's flagship, the Hoopheads podcast, hosted by Mike Klintzing and Jason Sunkel, and featuring the best minds in the game from its grassroots to the NBA.